Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God is good.
All the time.
Word tells us he's the same yesterday.
Amen.
Today.
Yeah.
And
forever.
He doesn't change.
No, so,
you better start changing.
Amen.
We become more like him as we change. One thing for sure the word tells us, our sins are forgiven.
Amen. Yeah.
I said our sins are forgiven.
Amen.
The devil wants to remind you about your failures.
Forget it.
But the word tells us that, you know, the word tells us our sins are forgiven.
Amen.
Turn with me to Mark's Gospel, chapter 2 and verse 1. Are you all there? Good, praise God. Mark's Gospel, chapter 2 and verse 1. And when he, Jesus, had come back to Capernaum, I'll try that again, wrong teeth. Capernaum, several days afterwards, it was heard that he, Jesus, says in my Bible, was at home.
Amen.
He was at home. He had a home in Capernaum. A lot of people say, well, do you remember that scripture where he said to those who wanted to be his disciples, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head, etc. The fox have holes, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So everybody then preaches and says, Jesus didn't have a place to live. And yet, if you go through your Bible, and if you will go through and you use, for instance, if you have a computer and you've got a Bible on your computer, you type in the word Capernaum and see how many times you see Jesus going back or going to Capernaum. Why?
His home.
It's his home. Yes, he had a travelling ministry amongst the Jews, but his base was in Capernaum. Now, some people try and say, well, that was where Peter lived. So he actually was living with Peter.
No.
I don't think so. Don't make the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords something that he's not. Let's make him who he really is. I'm going to talk today about this story in this chapter. So, verse 2. People had heard he was at home. News got round the town. And many people were gathered together. There was a great press, so that there was no longer room even near the doorway. And he was speaking the word to them. And they came bringing to him the paralytic carried by four men. And after being unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him.
Yes.
Now, if this was Peter's house, knowing Peter's temperament, right? Can you imagine what might have happened if it was Peter's house and somebody is now about to rip the roof off?
Peter himself would have raised the roof.
Peter would have gone out there and he would create merry, I don't know what. He would have given them some GBH, a verbal GBH. He would have laid into them. Would he not? That was his temperament. But no. The home of Jesus. And these men climb up the outside, the steps up, typical Jewish house. It was a flat roof where you could go out on the evening time and it would be cooler. And you'd catch the light summer breezes and maybe even sleep on the rooftop safely. Nothing to be afraid of. No air conditioning needed. Just you and the stars and God. Well, these four men went up the side and carried this friend of theirs who was paralyzed. Said, we've got to get this man to Jesus. Somehow we've got to get him. So one of them came up with this bright idea. Let's go on the roof. One of them said to the other, what are we going to do when we get on the roof? He said, I'll show you. Stick with me, he said. I'll show you what we're going to do. So off they went up the roof, it says. And unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof from above. And when they had dug an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralysed man was lying. Wow. These men are determined. These men have got faith.
Yeah.
That if they can get their friend to Jesus, something's going to change.
Amen.
Something's going to change.
Yeah.
And they begin to lower him down. And everybody's wondering what's going on. You know, we're in the middle of a Bible study here.
Yeah.
What's the idea? The Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious people were there, the people in the know from the local synagogue. They were all there.
They were blocking the way.
They were in the way.
Yeah.
The religious people were getting in the way. Well, let me tell you this. If the religious people get in the way of you getting to Jesus, then find another way.
Amen.
Find another way in.
Yeah.
It means ripping the roof off, going by the roof.
Amen.
But find another way into the presence of Jesus.
Yeah.
Like we were saying earlier on, you know, when we begin to when we begin to truly worship God, we find another way in.
Yeah, we do.
To the presence of God.
Amen.
And when you find a way into the presence of God, there will be signs, wonders,
Amen.
And miracles
Amen.
That become available to us.
Yeah.
These men knew that. If they could find a way in to Jesus, then they could have the miracle that they required for their friend.
Yeah.
They would find a miracle for their friend. Verse 5 says, and Jesus, seeing their faith, these four men, their faith, wasn't about the faith of the man on the pallet by the sound of things, wasn't about the faith of the man that was paralysed, it was about the faith of the four men that carried him there, that took him there, that broke open the roof and lowered him down. How big's your faith for somebody else?
Yeah.
How big's your faith for somebody else? Come on. You know, it's a challenge to each and every one of us. You know, over the years I've prayed for many people and some have come with little faith.
Mm-hmm.
Where does it put my faith?
Stretching it.
I have to stretch my faith. I have to allow, I have to cause my faith to grow.
Yeah.
My trust to grow in God. And every time I see Roy, it's a challenge.
Yeah.
Do I still believe?
Amen.
Is God still able to do miracles?
Yes. Yes.
And the answer is still yes, yes, and yes.
Yeah.
But I pray, Lord, why do I not see it? But I'm not going to stop believing.
Standing on his promises.
That's right, Edwin, standing on his promises. So we don't stop believing, we continue to believe.
Amen.
We continue to trust God.
Amen.
Even when every doorway seems blocked.
Yeah.
When every passageway is filled by somebody or something else. When every gateway seems to be closed. Find another way to seek Jesus.
Yeah.
Find another way to find Jesus. Nobody else has thought about going on the roof. Everybody's taking the easy option, windows and doors. It's okay, we'll strip tiles. We'll get in through the top. So they made that way in, lowered him down. Here we go, verse 6. But there were some of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. That whatever you do, do not start reasoning God.
Yeah, it won't work.
You start doing that,
yeah,
and you're in serious trouble.
Sure.
You'll become a religious person.
Yeah.
Do you want to be religious?
No.
Or do you want to be radical?
Radical.
Radical for Jesus. Believe in every word that he breathes to you. And taking every promise he's given.
Yeah.
And acting on them.
Amen.
And these people were reasoning, it says, in their hearts, not in their minds. In the very heart, the very soul of their life.
Yeah.
They're reasoning out God. Because it didn't quite go with their doctrine. It didn't quite go with what they wanted. So we'll reason him out. God must fit this size box. God must fit this time scale. God must fit my plans. Because if he doesn't, he's out. Yeah, you've lost. That's right. I don't want to lose. I don't want you to lose. We need to fit God's plans. We need to fit God's timetables. And as we do that, as we put God first. You see, these men took this friend of theirs and they put God right into the centre. They put Jesus right into the centre of that activity that day.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to be in a warm day. They've carried him. How far have they carried him? I don't know. They forced their way through a crowd with a guy on a stretcher.
Yeah.
It's taken four of them to carry him.
Yeah.
You know, he might have been one of these guys that's been, you know, scoffing on McDonald's for most of his life. And like we see on TV, he's been bedridden all of his life when he's like 18 stone. 70 stone, is it? Oh, that's true, yeah. He could have been a big guy. It took four of them. Huffing and puffing in the heat of the day. Pushing through the crowd. Nobody wants to move. We're being religious. Don't push in. We've always stood here. This is my spot. Had to push the way through, force the way through with this stretcher, with this guy on it. Up the stairs. I'm sure health and safety weren't in too much of a demand in them days. I don't think there'd have been a banister rail. It might make your way up and don't slip off the edge. Off they reached the top, got this roof tiles off, lowered him down, and the religious people are now saying, what is going on here? We're supposed to be having a respectable Bible study. We're going to teach this so-called prophet Jesus a few things about Moses and the law. Because that's all they knew. They didn't know about the mercy and the grace of God that Abraham knew of. They didn't know anything about that. They'd forgotten. They only knew Moses and the law he left them. Because they were stiff-necked and rebellious.
Yeah.
So that's what they had to know. And then in verse 7 it says, why does this man speak that way? He blasphemeth. Who can forgive sins but God alone? You see, Jesus has suddenly turned around to this paralysed man on this bed and said, your sins are forgiven. Oh, you know, I mean, can you imagine them? These religious people, they run the synagogue. Everybody looks up to them. Just about falling off the seats. coughing and muttering under their breaths. How can he do this? Who does he think he is? It's not who he thinks he is. It's who he knows who he is. He knows. He is the Son of God. Verse 8 says, and immediately Jesus, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning that way within themselves, said to them, why are you reasoning about these things in your heart? Which is easier to say to this paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, arise and take up your pallet and walk. But in order that you may know that the Son of Man hath authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your pallet, and go home.
Amen.
And I guess he did.
He did.
I guess he did. Up he got. And he went. The faith of three others, four others should I say, bringing him to that place, fighting the fight, pressing through into the presence of a holy God. Not too many people want to do that today. Let's have 20 minutes in church of worship, 20 minutes preaching, and then let's finish it fairly quick and we can go. God's had enough time then. It really is about getting to know him. This book, this Bible that we carry around, that we have with us, this is how we get to know him.
Amen.
This is how we learn to cast all our cares,
Amen.
All our concerns, all our worries, all our stress, all our aches and pains and everything that comes upon us. He has an answer, Jesus, for us. Jonathan just gave me some news a few minutes ago of a friend of ours that we've known through the biking community. He just told me that he's got bladder cancer. I know that his business has just gone the wrong way as well, so I heard. Tried to talk to him in the past about Jesus. Don't want to know. Don't want to know. But this I do know. That Jesus is the answer.
Amen.
Yeah.
And there is no other way. I know that when we used to go out biking, this friend of ours, if he introduced me to everybody, he always introduced me as, this is the Bish. And he would always just about give my testimony, you know. He'd always tell them something about me. I didn't get a chance to open my mouth half the time. And they always used to think he was a bit of a joker. And so then afterwards when he'd gone, they'd turn around and said to me, or if we was on our own, they'd say, are you really a bishop? Do you really? You know, and then, you know, I was able to, he used to open the door for me. Great guy. But he needs Jesus.
Amen.
He needs Jesus. Put him on your prayer list. Jeff's his name. Needs Jesus. He actually came to our consecration service. So we just need to refresh my contacts with him again. Talk to him. But you know, just pray. Tried ringing him the other day. You know, we need to bring the presence and the power of God into people's lives.
Yeah.
And as we learn to worship God, we will carry the presence with us.
Mm.
We'll carry it. We are vessels to carry the presence of God in our lives. Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 6. And verse 24, John's Gospel, chapter 6, and verse 24. And when the multitude saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into a small boat and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. See what I mean? They knew where Jesus lived, even if the people today didn't know where he lived.
Yeah.
They knew he lived in Capernaum.
Amen.
And they knew if he wasn't out preaching somewhere where they last heard of him, then we know where we're going to go looking for him.
Capernaum.
Let's go to his house. Somebody will know where he is. Yeah? We need to encourage people to be listening to Jesus knocking on their door.
Yeah.
People need to find the love of God.
Mm.
What was it that healed this man on this pallet? First, it was the faith of these four men.
Yeah, it was.
But ultimately it was the love of God that reaches out and says, be healed, your sins are forgiven. It's only love that can forgive us our sins, the love of God, through his mercy and his grace. But you see, it's God's love through Christ's sacrifice on that cross. And we know he hadn't died at that time, but here he is turning around and saying to this man, your sins are forgiven. He's already taken his authority. He's already taken his position. Because he knows he's going to go through with a final plan.
Amen.
He knows he's already going to finish what he started.
Yeah.
He knows that nobody's going to stand in his way. No devil, no demon, no man,
no
woman. Nothing will stand in his way. He will go through with it. And so Jesus, even by faith, says to this man, your sins are forgiven you.
Yeah.
Rise up and walk.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
He's the Son of God. Amen.
He's the one that's come to bring life.
Mm-hmm.
For you and me, those things need to be continually happening for each and every one of us. And so that happens in our relationship that we have day by day with God.
Yeah.
With Jesus. Our faith exists, breathes, grows, develops because of our relationship that we have on a daily basis with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Time in the Word. Time talking to him. Time together. These people were looking for Jesus.
Yeah.
They went to Capernaum. They knew where they could find him. We need to be looking for Jesus.
Amen.
Every day.
Yeah.
You should know where to find him. In your own quiet time.
Yeah.
In your own time that you spend with God. You should know where to find Jesus. And you should make time to be with him.
Amen.
You know, I thank God for a fantastic wife.
Oh.
Don't know what I'd do without her. Can't imagine a day without her. We live together, we work together, we play together, we sleep together, we do everything together.
Yeah.
There's rare that we have time apart.
Mm.
It's a rarity. Some marriages wouldn't stand that.
Yeah.
All the you mean you work with your wife and you don't fall out? No, I leave her in one office and I'm in the other office.
It works.
You didn't put it.
But some people say, I don't know how you do it. There's one reason we do it, because we've got one thing that holds us together that is so important to both of us.
Mm.
And that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Without him, we wouldn't live, we wouldn't breathe, we wouldn't exist. And that's fantastic. Families fall apart. And they fall apart over the smallest thing. The stupidest thing. And then when you ask them years later, why aren't you speaking to your brother, your sister or whatever, I don't know, I can't remember. But I'll never speak to them again. It's like, but why? I don't know. Can't remember anymore. My mother's brothers and sisters were a bit like that. Not going to let that happen to between me and my sister.
No,
no way. Because Jesus is between us.
Amen.
Not going to let that happen between me and my brother-in-law. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen between me, my nephew and my niece.
No.
It's all about Jesus, you see.
Amen.
Or my nephew's wife. And their little daughter. See, Jesus is family orientated.
Yes.
God's a family man, for want of a better word. God's a family man.
Yes.
He brought Adam and Eve together and said, be fruitful and multiply. God's a family man.
Amen.
The first miracle that Jesus ever did was the miracle of the wedding in Cana of Galilee, where he took water and he turned it into the best wine that anybody had ever tasted. Now the church has been trying to turn it back to water ever since.
Yeah. Reason.
Jesus, God, wants to bless families.
Amen.
But families have to connect with him.
Yeah.
There's nothing greater. There's nothing more powerful than knowing and having the presence of God in your life and in your family.
Yeah.
And when situations get difficult, yeah, and they will.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
They will.
Yeah.
But to know the peace of God.
Amen.
In your family.
Yeah.
To know the hand of God leading your family step by step, there's nothing greater. You know, there are times when Grace and I, we've spent so much time together, sometimes we don't speak very much.
Hey, I was looking this morning.
Oh dear.
Yesterday. You were busy doing your things, and I was busy doing my things. Mm. And we were in different rooms, but occasionally I want to pop in other room and say something and then disappear. And we didn't say much all day, but there was just a unity, a harmony and a peace.
Can't really be apart, you know.
And God's presence, we need to be like that with God, don't we? We don't always have to be talking to him. We don't always have to be rabbiting, do we?
No.
We can just sit.
Just being sometimes
just be there
in that person's presence.
Or you can be doing your stuff at home, but you can still be in his presence, can't you?
Absolutely.
And we have that with God, we can always.
He says, I'll never leave you, I will never forsake you. So if he's not leaving, then the only time that you get separated is when you left him.
Yeah.
He ain't left.
No.
The only time that you don't hear his voice is when you decide not to listen to him.
Yeah.
I don't want to listen. I've done that.
Created a storm.
I've done that. Stupid, but I've done it. So I know when it's people are stupid. I've seen it. Seen it right in the mirror. Seeing it nose to nose. So if I tell you sometimes you're being stupid, it's because I see what I used to be. I've seen it. I've been there. I've done it. Don't be stupid. Don't miss God.
No.
Don't miss the best that God has for
Amen.
You. These four men carrying this pallet had said, oh, we've tried. We really have tried. I mean, we're exhausted. We just can't seem to. They won't let us in. If they'd have given up then.
Never give up.
He would have never got his healing.
No. Never give up.
And I guarantee you that after that healing, there would be more and more miracles.
Amen.
Just
Amen.
Happening. People's faith. The word would spread like a fire through the city of Capernaum, saying,
yeah,
Jesus is really in the house.
Yes.
Jesus is really in the house. And I say that in the sense I want to say that, you know, when we as a body of Christ, when the body of Christ should come together, we should be able to say
Jesus
is in the house.
Amen.
And when Jesus is in the house, there will be signs, wonders and miracles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because everywhere that Jesus went, there were signs, wonders and miracles.
Yeah.
So if Jesus is not in the house, there's going to be no miracles. There's going to be no healings. There's not going to be no signs. There's going to be nothing happening. We're going to get back to the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Mm. Is that what you want?
No, I don't want legalism.
It's not what I want.
Killer.
I want Jesus to be in the house.
Amen.
Amen.
I want Jesus to feel he's at home.
Amen.
I want Jesus to feel that he's welcome.
Yeah.
That he sits down and he's comfortable.
Yeah.
And begins to minister life to each and every one of us.
Yeah.
Miracles begin to happen in our lives. We need to seek God. We need to seek Jesus for his fullness.
Amen.
We need the fullness of God in our life in such a way that we've never known before in these
days.
God. To strengthen us, to support us, to take us through difficult times.
Yeah.
When things come against us, he carries us through.
He does.
Mm-hmm. Our faith will carry us through to our miracle.
It will.
Our faith will take us to where we need to be.
Yeah.
But for that to be happening, I really feel as individuals, we need to become really worshippers, true worshippers of Jesus.
Yeah.
We worship him not because we're happy.
No.
We don't worship him because everything's going fine.
No.
We worship him even in the time of storm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No matter what our life is, we should be our life, his desire for our life, his plan for our life is that we are worshippers.
Yeah.
That was a plan in the, right from the beginning in the Old Testament, that we were worshippers of God.
Yeah.
The Old Testament talks about we should come into his presence and come to God, and we come with an act of worship.
Mm-hmm.
Our gifts are an act of worship that we bring to God.
Yeah.
Our time that we spend with him is an act of worship.
Yeah.
And as we begin to worship him, you see, we become passionate.
Yeah,
we become passionate.
Yeah.
That's what worship is. It's passion.
Yeah.
It's passion.
Yeah.
And as we become passionate for God, God becomes passionate for you.
Amen. Yeah.
And worship begins to flow through you. God begets intimate with you. God wants to touch you in such an area in your life that you've never known before. God wants to draw you into himself, into a place that you have never, ever been before.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes through worship. You know, bless him, Roy, there. He struggles at the moment with his words, his speech. But you know, if he begins to worship God, and he might not make any, might, to you and me, it might not make much sense. But to God, he knows exactly what he's saying. Don't he? He knows exactly what you're saying.
He does.
And I would encourage you, when you're here with us, when we start to worship, just worship.
Yeah.
Just worship. Because I'm believing God that one day, I am believing God one day that that tongue will be released. In Jesus' name. But give it that opportunity to worship. And I say that to every one of you. You know, some of you say, well, I don't like saying much. You need to worship.
Amen.
You need to draw into his presence and worship him. And as you worship him, there will be an overwhelming presence of Jesus.
Amen.
Like his arms being drawn around you. When a young couple are married, they spend time together. They worship, in one sense, they worship one another.
Yeah.
You know? The woman's daft enough to worship the very ground her husband walks on. Is that not true?
Yeah.
Why? She loves him. She gave a promise to him. She gave her heart to him.
Mm.
The man worships the ground that his wife walks on. And there are some times when not a word has to pass between them, but just a glance. Mm. Just a touch of a hand. And it says more than words can ever say. Can you see what I'm trying to say? Are you catching some of this? Is any of this making any sense at all?
They do
actions speak louder than words. But our power, our anointing, our relationship with our Lord Jesus comes all about out of our worship. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. And I'll finish with this. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation of God, says this: I know your deeds, that ye are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth, because you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy, I have need of nothing. And you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, that you may become rich, and white garments, that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And I salve to anoint your eyes, that you may see. Church that has grown cold, lukewarm, having a happy clappy time, not really gone cold, just doing the right things, making the right noises, keeping the doors open, people coming in and out, and nothing really happening, no signs, no wonders, no miracles. We teach the word of God. We'll even teach law if we need to. And the Spirit says, you've lost your fire. You've lost your passion. You've lost your first love. You've lost your intimacy. You no longer catch a glimpse of my eye. You no longer feel the touch of my hand upon your shoulder. The Spirit of God says, I've done away with you. You're distasteful. God wants you and I to realise that he wants us to be on fire. He wants us to have that relationship. He wants us that So many people today have become comfortable in the world. And I'm not saying it's not good, not right to be comfortable. I'm not saying that. It's nice to be comfortable. But people have taken it that their comfortability has replaced God. I don't need God. I've got this, I've got that, I've got this. And by the time you've done, you don't need God because you've got so much stuff, you've got so much junk that needs repairing, fixing or something doing to, you haven't got time for God.
Yeah, that's right.
We can be overtaken
by things
and not know which one to pick up next because we've got so many things. And we just don't know which one we should take next, do we? I have a demonstrator here, this little girl here. She has so many things, and she still doesn't know which one she should have. So many things. Which one shall I take? Can you see? You're all like that. You're all like that. Just admit it. You know, two bikes, two cars, they all want fixing at some stage. They all want something doing to them, you know. House wants repairing, this wants fixing, washing machines bust, you know, TV's broke, etc. And so it goes on. Garden, edge, etc, etc. I'm not against all these things. Don't get me wrong. Where's God? Where is the space for your precious time with God? You see, this little girl doesn't really want all these things. Do you know what she really wants? There you go. Did you see that? She wants her mummy. She wants her daddy. She's a great demonstrator. She's right on key, aren't you? Every time. See, she don't really want... She wants mummy and daddy. That's the most important thing that this child can ever have and ever want for. Isn't that right? Eh? Yeah. It is. She knows. She can be surrounded by all these things. And some of them glitter and sparkle. And after a while, she'll get tired of them. What does she do then? Where does she go then? Mummy or daddy? Catching up to this, you know. I'm glad you sat on the front row today, my darling. You're doing a great job. You can come again and sit there, and you and me can preach the word together. This is what it's about. You see, you can have as much as you want. But the most important thing is you need that relationship.
Yeah. She's content.
And that brings that contentment. Godly contentment. And the church needs to move to that place. Be hot. Have a relationship. Know God in a mighty way. And see God move in your life. Amen.
Amen.
Praise his name. Thank you for your time. I trust you've been encouraged.
Yes.
I trust it's ministered to you. And that you will pursue a greater presence of God in your own life. And that you will pursue worship. Worship with God. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.